I want to welcome everybody tonight. This is the Ohio Writers Guild, and I'm Kathy Benner, a passive income coach, and I'm coming to you from Sarasota, Florida. Just got back from Italy a couple of weeks ago, landed in Ohio for 2 weeks, kind of got everything squared away there, and we're off again to Florida. We're only here for 10 days, though. I'm coming home for Christmas because the kids and grandkids are in Ohio. So I'll be flying back on the 23rd for the holidays. So in the 2 weeks I was home, I had to pedal fast because we got all of our decorating done, all of our Christmas shopping done, and all of it is wrapped. Can you believe that? Because I
No.
knew by the time I got back home on the 23rd, there was not going to be enough time to do all that. And in the meantime, and Sandy drove over from where she lives. In the meantime, we had our I'll call it our company party. It was our tribe party, and we had folks that came in from all around. And so we
I'm
threw that in the
sorry I
mix.
missed that.
Yeah, so we threw that in the mix of the 10 days that I was home. So yeah, it's been a crazy couple of weeks, but it's been fun. And I love being busy. So I get to be as busy or not as I want to be. So that's my lifestyle at the moment. And anyway, I have the Kathy Benner International Academy, and I show folks how to take their passion, turn it into their purpose, turn their purpose into profit, and then finally turn their profit into passive income. And so that's why, again, I like to be as busy or not as I want to be, depending on what projects I either want to work on, or as we were just chatting, I pay somebody else to work on. So that's kind of how my life is going right now. I never had those advantages early on, and so I've kind of created that lifestyle for myself, and it's pretty awesome, actually. So I love that. I want to mention before we go on that this is going to be our last Tuesday night on Zoom. We are going to be doing a little segue onto Mondays at noon. And because a lot of folks are like, oh, I just can't break away. I've got family stuff. The kids are out of school. By that time, they're home. I've got dinner, laundry. You know how it is. And so I chose the noon time hour because that way, if folks are still working, they might be able to tap in and listen during the lunch hour. And we're finding that actually that's a much better time for everyone. So starting in January, our Zoom code is going to be different. And so for those of you that are listening, make sure that you go to kathybenner.com, scroll down to the calendar, and click through to get the new Zoom code. And it'll be the same Zoom code for every Monday at noon. So you don't have to keep shuffling through your cards or your papers or your calendar saying, what is the code for today? It's going to be the same code for everything that I do. Just make sure you tune in on the correct Monday. And so here is the scoop. I gotta find us here. We are going to be on January 15 is the next time that we're on. And again, make sure that you go down to kathybenner.com, scroll to the calendar, click through, and get the new code. And so January 15 at noon. So everybody save the date, mark your calendars, and we'll see you then. All right. I want to then turn it over to Sandy. Sandy is my co-host, my co-mod, and she has some wonderful things going on. And I'm going to let her, I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to make her my co-host in case I get bumped off my Wi-Fi. And then I'm going to let her share what she has going on. And then we're going to get to talk to Michelle. So, Sandy, over to
Sure.
you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. I'm Sandy Kachurik. I live in Ohio, not far from Yellow Springs, Ohio, which is an extremely unique village. And if you don't do anything else, check out on Google Yellow Springs, Ohio. In there is this wonderful hotel called the Mills Park Hotel. And this coming August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2024, in Yellow Springs at the Mills Park Hotel, I will be holding my sixth Into the Springs Writers Workshop. Every year, my featured guests change. This year, I have three. Well, there's five, but three. Andrew Welsh Huggins from Columbus, Ohio, who is a mystery writer as well as other stories. He does nonfiction as well. He's very much known for his Andy Hayes Private Eye series, which is appropriate because good old Andy was an Ohio State Buckeye quarterback and Cleveland Brown quarterback. But as most noir detective fiction goes, he kind of shamed himself. So now he's kind of living with that as a private investigator in Columbus. Also, I have Jeffrey Marks. Jeffrey Marks is the publisher of a small business short mystery fiction company in Cincinnati called Crippen and Landrieu. He's also well known for his work in biographies of some outstanding mystery writers, as well as his own award-winning mysteries. Finally, I have the Ohio audiobook narrators, Becky, Angus, and Gary. They are the founders. They're going to spend a good Saturday afternoon talking about how you can narrate your own book successfully or have them narrate it for you and how to do that. I'm hoping that there may be time that they'll practice a little bit and show you what they do using some of the registrants' writing material as well. Now, that sounds like, oh, this must be for mystery writers. But no, that's part of the challenge. I make it so that the whole emphasis up front is for you as a writer. What do they have as experienced authors to share with you to get you from point A to point B to point Z? And yes, they're going to celebrate their mystery writing, but they're also going to help those who are not in the mystery genre, at least not now. And so it's going to be a fun weekend, and it's a whole weekend of being ready to ask your questions whenever you want. And my featured guests know that they're going to stick around a lot during that weekend. So whenever you have your question, they will be available to help for you. And a couple extras, if you are a registrant this year, on Saturday evening, you can set up half a table in our banquet hall and sell one of your books. And we also have an open mic reading night, so you can read some about 7 minutes of a selection from your work. And so it's going to be very much a celebration of writing, celebration of published work, and should be good. Should be really interesting. I'm about ready. You can go online now, but I'm just finishing up my newsletter. I have a discount price until January 31st, but go to www.intothespringswritersworkshop.com to read all about it. Thanks, Kathy.
All right, I am making a note to get in there and buy my workshop because I don't want to miss it. I went last year. It was so much fun. And everyone was so super nice. And I learned a lot. And I did have one question, Sandy. Are you going to have somebody do some readings, or is everybody just going to be reading their own this year?
I always have two professional actors come in. They seem to love it. Come in and they will read your work for you if you choose to do that. And
And they did
those,
such a great job. Such a
yeah.
great job.
And there's a few who says, "Oh my gosh, I would just come just to hear somebody professional read my work." So
Yeah.
yes, that would definitely be a part of it. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So Into the Springs Writers Workshop, make sure that you go there. It's its own website, into the Springs Writers Workshop.com, and sign up. Yeah, it's worth the price. I don't even know what your discount price is, but it isn't a lot. I remember last year the discount was
Oh,
really
good.
good.
Thank you.
And yeah, go ahead.
It is the same price it was last year, $279.99, I believe, for the
Yeah.
whole weekend.
Yeah.
And so take
I
advantage of
love
it.
it. Yes,
Thanks.
perfect. So now we are going to talk to Michelle Mays. I met Michelle last year and she was on our podcast and we talked with her, but boy, oh boy, has she done a lot since we talked to her last. But some of our listeners may not know what you're all about, Michelle. So give us a little bit about your backstory and bring us up to maybe where we were last year with what you were doing.
Sure. Thank you, Kathy. And thank you, Sandy, both of you. I actually know the Yellow Springs area very well because I graduated from Fairborn High School,
Oh,
which is the
wow.
next town over. Yellow Springs is a beautiful town. And I would love to come that weekend, but I was like, August 8th, I just booked a trip. Ah!
Awesome.
Anyway, I'll have to catch your future ones. That sounds very interesting.
Thank you.
My name's Michelle Mays. I am the co-author of Dumpster Doll series. This is the first one, Dumpster Doll, The Early Years. It was published December of 2019. We officially launched it to the public February 15th of 2020, 2 weeks before the world shut down. And then we last year published part two of the series, Dumpster Doll Adolescence. And we are almost finished with the third installation of the three-part series. And what the Dumpster Doll series is about a foster child, what the foster child endures before going into foster care, what led up to foster care, the families that they were with during foster care, and what happens after foster care, and how they take the lessons learned by all the different mentors they had and apply it in a atmosphere where they have no guidance. And so the story is about me. I am the dumpster doll, and the book has been added to a national organization's reading list called CASA, and they actually help foster kids when they're in the foster care system. It has actually made changes in legislation on the West Coast in how children are extracted from a bad home. And it's been submitted to Netflix and Hulu, fingers crossed that something happens there. I have an audiobook for both books, except, and the audiobooks were recorded by a multi-nominated Grammy producer and winner. And the one stipulation, he's my cousin and he has a studio in Nashville. His name is Ben Isaacs. And the one stipulation he gave me for recording, for him doing the recording, is that I could not hire an actor to read it. I had to be the one to read the book. And it was really hard, but and he's super professional and we had a lot of retakes and but it's out there on Audible and audiobooks.com and wherever you get audiobooks. And I'm the narrator on both books. And let's see what's happened in the last year. Okay. So as we were writing, my best friend wrote this book with me. I could not have done it without her. I would not have done it by myself. There are a lot of situations in this book where it just brought back a lot of trauma and it forced me to look at what I'd been through. And it actually taught me that I'm stronger than I remembered because of what all I had endured and come out the other side. And I like to be positive. I like to be happy because I spent too much of my life in a dark place. And a lot of people that know me and know my family and know how we grew up will say to me, Michelle, how are you the way you are? How are you so positive? And you need to write a book and tell people your story. And I've heard that ever since high school. And I always said, yeah, all right, okay, one day, one day. Well, finally, when my kids were grown and moved out, I went back to college. And my psychology professor, who is a lead lecturer at The Ohio State University, she said, Michelle, you really need to write a book. I want to help you with this. And so she was our technical editor during book one. But during this whole process, we kept hearing about kids aging out from families that we knew, or we knew the person who was friends with the family, and the kids were killing themselves after they aged out. So I started researching. Well, first, I tried to find a statistic, how many kids kill themselves when they age out? And I couldn't find a solid statistic anywhere. The most I found was they're 3 to 4 times more likely to commit suicide. Okay, than a child in a family home with their biological family. So that's pretty alarming. And so I started researching them. Well, what do they have available for kids when they age out of foster care? And there's not a lot. In some areas, there's nothing. So during the shutdown, sorry, my leg is falling asleep. During the shutdown, we were allowed to work from home. And my husband and we lived in the suburbs because our kids' schools were there and it was a great neighborhood for families. And my husband and I decided that we wanted to live in the country. So we moved to the Hocking Hills region. We used to live in Marysville, which is a kind of a offset of Columbus. And so we moved out here and I started researching what's around here for kids. And alarmingly, even less than the city has. There's actually nothing in the Appalachian region or little to nothing. And so I started talking to several organizations, Job and Family Services, independent living programs, CASA, and come to find out that well, the money around here isn't distributed for foster children because they don't have as many. The bigger cities have a lot more, so they get more money for programs. And then also, no one has taken the initiative to start the programs and see it through because it's a lot of work. And so I started talking to several people and I said, okay, well, what if we just help? We'll become a hub because there's an organization that will help them, get grants for college. There's an organization that will help them with their medical insurance. There's an organization that will help them with clothing, school supplies, iPads for college. There are multiple organizations out there, but in every part of my research, I found out that the child, the youth, has to initiate the program. They have to contact them. They have to sign up for it. They have to
And
know about
they don't even know it's there.
it. So I said, you know what? I'm going to be a hub. I want to be a hub where they can come to us when they age out, and we will help them sign up for all these things. So we started helping. And the first thing we found out is they have, which this, we didn't find this out. I knew because of experience, no birth certificate, no social security card. How are they going to find gainful employment if they age out without these documents? So we started helping them get just those documents. Then most of them don't have a cell phone. So we started helping them get a cell phone so that they could communicate with all these organizations. Well, then in talking with the other organizations, they're like, we really are having a hard time housing them because, first of all, they've got to find an apartment they can afford. They're not going to come out of foster care making 40, 50,000 a year, much less 30,000. Some don't even make that. And there aren't a lot of apartments available that will go along with that kind of income. And how many landlords are going to let an 18-year-old sign a lease? So we started advocating for them. And then I was like, you know what? We could really help more kids if we had a center for them to come to. And then I was like, well, we could help them even better if we had apartments that they could stay in until we could find them a permanent place. So I just finished filling out the grant with the help of Nationwide Children's Hospital and Appalachian Children's Coalition. And I signed a contract, a contingency contract. Granted, we don't get it if we don't get the grant, but all signs point to yes as far as what we're asking for and who I've talked to. But we just signed a contract for over a 20,000 square foot building in Logan, Ohio.
Wow.
Now, yeah, I'm pretty excited. We'll find out in the spring if we have the grant or not. But how this really blew up, I kept telling Michelle Moon, my co-author, I kept saying, you know, it's just going to take the right person to read the book. I didn't write the book and I didn't tell my story for people to be like, oh, poor girl. You know, I'm not a poor girl. I'm very successful. My children are very successful. I have a great life. I have a great job. I have great friends, great family. I don't like to be looked at as pitied. The reason I told my story was to help others that are traveling the same path as me. But I knew if the right person read the book, they could help us with this cause. And that did happen this year. The lieutenant governor's wife read the book. And I had seen him speak last October. And he mentioned that he was a foster child and was adopted. And so I gave him both book one and book two, and he gave them to his wife. And she texted me one day, and I was like, what? She said, this is Tina Husted, and I just finished your first book and I'm halfway through your second. I absolutely need to meet you. Will you come over for breakfast? So I went to her house, and she's a wonderful person, wonderful family, family of faith, which I love so much because God has pulled me through all of this. And she said, you know, of course, everybody that reads the book, what happened to so and so? What happened to so and so? And where are you now? And all this. So we spent some time talking about the story. And then she said, and what's this project, Foster Hub? Because I put it in the back of book two, because book two is really the part where I age out and what I went through when I aged out and how hard it was. So I actually launched Foster Hub in the same party as the book launch for book two. Because they go hand in hand. And so I told her, and she said, well, where are you now? And I said, well, I had this dream. And I was walking through this building and I was opening all these doors and looking around the room. And I woke up with such a vivid picture that I picked up a pad of paper and I drew it. And then I went downstairs to log in to work. And then I heard that's not good enough. So I found a software and I took a training and I created a 3D model that you could walk through of the center. And I showed her this and I said, this is what God is telling me I need to do. And she said, I'm going to introduce you to some people. So she immediately emailed some people, copied me, and they have been wonderful. They exist to help nonprofits network and find grant money. And everybody is so excited about this project. And she even said, Michelle, this is the pilot. She said, I am seeing one of these in every four counties across Ohio. And I was like, really? Well, that would be nice. Sorry. So fingers crossed that the pilot is successful. And I think it will because I'm getting so many people. And if you get a chance to read the books, sorry, you'll
No, it's
know
okay. I wow.
that
This is
God
so powerful.
it is, that God really guided me through a lot of things. And you know, I was very close to being one of those kids that gives up when you age out because you become homeless and you immediately go into survival mode. You're not thinking about, oh, I need to sign up for this program. I need to sign up for this program. You're thinking about, where am I going to sleep tonight? How am I going to eat? You know, who's, and if you do have a job, How am I going to take a shower to go to work so I don't smell, you know? And you may have friends that you can couch surf for a while, but that gets old, and you're putting a strain on your friendships. So this project, this center is the reason. Yeah, the purpose for all of it. And as I was writing, I realized that this is why I went through this, because it made me strong enough to be there for others that are going through this. And this center is just the beginning of changing that mindset to where when a foster kid ages out, they immediately have to go into survival mode. We're taking that off the table. We want them to feel safe and secure and focus on what other kids who have parents are allowed to focus on. Just learning how to adult, how to not survive but succeed, and how to thrive, and just focus on learning emotional intelligence and critical thinking skills, and not
And basic
how to struggle
bookkeeping.
and hustle,
Yeah, basic bookkeeping on how to balance a checkbook.
The classroom. So we're gonna have two classrooms. One will be a computer learning center, and we're gonna work with, and this is amazing. So I called my very first white collar job out of, before that I worked for temp agencies, and I worked at factories. So I did a lot of factory jobs, from cutting out the little letters that go on letter jackets, to making air conditioner parts, to working at a car factory. My first white collar job was teaching computer classes, and I totally BS'd my way into that. One week I knew how to play solitaire on a computer, and that was it. And the next week I am interviewing and doing a mock trial class for teaching computer classes. They would literally give me a book and say, "You're teaching this in 2 days. Sit down and learn this program." And my brain has always just been super fast like that, where I can pick things up. So I called them and I let them know about Foster Hub and the center and how we were going to have these computer classes. And I think the VP of development, or the director of development, he emailed me and he said, I would love to meet you." So we talked, and he said, "This is amazing that we were your first white collar job and you're offering this." And he said, "I can help you, and I can help you give these classes for free to these kids." So there's one partner, and I think they were bought out by a company called 360 Degrees or something like that. So that's huge. So we're going to have a computer learning center where children aren't, the youth is, they're going to learn real world workforce development classes, SQL coding, Excel, stuff that will help them have a career, not just a job, a career. And then we're going to have another classroom where we're going to teach financial skills, how to open a checking account, how to balance a checkbook, dangers of credit cards, how to do your taxes, how to write a resume, how to interview. We're going to have so many real world application life skills classes that are offered. And any foster child who ages out can come to these classes for free for a full decade after they age out. So not just when they first age out, we're going to make sure they know that they have an extended family throughout their entire young adult life. So there's that one. Kroger, we just got our sponsorship with Kroger. They are giving us gift cards. We make welcome baskets for the kids when they get their own place. And they gave us gift cards to put in the welcome baskets. And when we open the center, they want to help us fill our food pantry. So we're going to have two classrooms, a teaching kitchen, a shopping room with hygiene and food and stuff like that. We're going to have 10 efficiency apartments, a laundry facility, a community room where we'll have group therapy sessions, or they can just hang out while their laundry is going. We're also working with the local hospital. Oh, the local hospital is using these books in their Teens with Trauma program. And the local hospital is also going to come in our center and teach nutrition classes and dietary classes. Also, Job and Family Services in Hocking, Ross, and Minton County. The executive director said he will send the program director to come and help us build the program. And he'll even send his caseworkers to come sign the kids up for everything that they're eligible for. Let's see who else is. Oh my gosh, there's so many different partners. So Kroger, oh, so this is amazing. This one's going to give you goosebumps. So the day I created the walkthrough model, I had not had a chance to tell anyone about it yet. I had to go. It was Cinco de Mayo because a neighbor was having a Cinco de Mayo party. So I went, and they always make great food. So I wanted to make sure I went. And this gentleman comes. He's a neighbor that lives in this community we live in. And he said, I would love 5 minutes of your time before you leave today. And I said, sure, what's up? He said, I work for Cornica Cozing, which is a construction company here in Ohio, rather large. And he said, we don't really advertise it, but we take causes under our belt every now and then. And we will send our employees in to volunteer their time for renovations and such. And he said, is that something that would interest you? I had not told one person about this building or this dream or anything that I had had. It was literally like God put him there to tell me, this is your path right here. Take it. So Cornica Cozing came in and they walked the building and they drew up the estimate for the grant. And then he had another friend who, because we needed an architect too. So we've got Ohio's best architect who is also helping with this. And he's excited to help us do, the full drawn out plans. He did the high level rendering draw out for what we needed for the grant. And he's going to help us do the entire blueprint and for every center that we do. And so he's involved. Who else is involved? Oh my gosh. Oh, the local Moose Fun Family Center threw us a benefit in November. And they actually involved the entire community, all the businesses. They know everybody. And we had a silent auction, a live auction. They had an auctioneer come in. We had a bake sale. We had a steak and chicken dinner. Foster Hub did not have to pay a penny. They paid for the dinner. Well, the businesses that they worked with paid. And on top of that, we raised $48,000. I know. I was thinking maybe 10. I was hoping for maybe 10 or whatever. $48,000. But that was really special. The fact that they involved everyone, and now businesses know who we are. They want to work with us. I met with the mayor. He wrote us a wonderful recommendation letter. Tina Houston, the congressman, the senator, the state rep, all these people now are involved and wrote recommendation letters for this project. That's why I think also, that's why I said all signs are pointing to yes. Let's see what else. Oh, and I've been speaking at a lot of churches lately, and one of the ladies at a church in Grove City, Buckeye Christian Church, she came to the event. And she said, "My mother could not be here because she's sick, but she recorded this message, and she would really love for me to play it for you. Can I have a minute of your time?" I was like, "Yeah, sure." So she gave me her phone, and she played the message for me. And this wonderful woman said, "I love what you're doing. I was a foster kid who aged out, and I understand why." And she said, "I would love to see Foster Hub go on forever." And she said, "I'm donating $10,000." I know. I was just in tears. I was like, "Oh my gosh, didn't she just say that?" So, I mean, and she had read the book, and the more, and I have never, when I was, before I did this, I work in finance. I'm a data nerd, and I have a DJ business on the weekends, but I have never told anybody my story. I wanted to pretend like I was just like everybody else. I didn't want people looking at me funny. And so I never thought it needed to be brought up, but now I know. And just from the emails I get and the messages, there are so many foster kids, alumni, and current. There's 500,000 current foster kids in this country, but there are so many out there our age that never told anybody either because we're chameleons and we've had to go from family, family, family. You have to blend in, you have to adapt to the family you're in. So you just learn how to be a chameleon. And one thing I like to say when I speak is once I learned that that is something other people don't have, that's a superpower. And once I learned how to wield it and use it to succeed, there was no stopping me. And that could be that way for every foster kid. They just have, they, and most of us come with a lot of trauma because our parents were, most of us have horrible parents, and that's why we ended up in foster care. But just being, just knowing that you survived that and you have this superpower that no one else has, or only 500,000 people in the world have, or well, I'm sure it's more than 500,000. That's 500,000 current. But it would be interesting to get a statistic of everybody alive today. How many have been in foster care? Wouldn't that be interesting? Because I bet there's a few million of us out there. And it just, I just know that I was supposed to tell my story because I was supposed to start Foster Hub. And God literally gives me so many signs. Like when I finish this book series, I already have the next book in my head, and it's going to be called God Moments. And it's literally the miracles that have happened since I released my story. They are so unbelievable. Just to give you a taste of one of them, I was in Tennessee. I spoke at a fundraiser in Tennessee last month. And the town that I lived in when I was younger was called Waynesville, Ohio. And oh, this year they gave me my own day, or last year, last December, December 17th is Michelle May's day in Waynesville, Ohio. But anyway, so there are several stories about the trailer park I lived in Waynesville and the school I went to. And, I ran away from home and I went and lived in the Dayton Mall for a while. And, just ended up in juvenile detention center. And there's, my life has been all over the place, and it's a roller coaster of a book if you haven't read the book yet. But it's a great inspiring story at how life can hand you some of the worst things and you can get through it and you can come out stronger on the other end. But So this gentleman runs out. I got up and I spoke, and there were people there. John Ford Coley was singing, John Barry, Buddy Jewell. And the lady who had me speak, she's the producer for the Mike Huckabee Show in Hendersonville, Tennessee, at TBN Studios. And so anyway, this guy comes running out when we went to leave, and he said, "I've been trying to talk to you, but everybody keeps taking your time. So I've been waiting. I wanted to get you before you leave." He's like, "I want to help you spread the word about your book. I feel like if you spread the word, you'll raise more money." I said, "Yeah, that's a great idea." He said, "Do you have a publicist?" I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "I would love to help you. I represent," and he starts naming off all these super famous people. And he said, "I," he said, "let's do lunch." He said, "Do you live around here?" And I said, "No, I don't. I live in Ohio." And he said, "Well, I have a client in Ohio, but it's a small town no one's ever heard of." And I said, "Well," I said, "I come back to Nashville often because when I was writing the book, I found my foster family and they live there." And I said, "I can come back and we can have a meeting if you want." He said, "Well," he said, I said, "but I'm really interested. What's the small town in Ohio?" And he said, "Oh, it's nobody knows. It's Waynesville, Ohio. It's a small town." And I was like, and my foster brother's wife was with me, and her eyes just popped out of her head. And I looked at her, I said, "That's what I call a God moment right there, literally." And just so many other things, like finding the cabin again, and my foster mom buying the cabin, and them letting me finish the book in the cabin, and then the doll. And there are so many things that you would not believe unless you were there and you were a witness. But it, literally, like just the Cinco de Mayo thing, God is giving me signs. He's talking to me. He's telling me literally last week, I was supposed to go pick up a check, and they wanted to do a picture with me for a publicity thing. So I was supposed to go pick up a check in Hendersonville, Tennessee, from this producer, because they raised a lot of money from the event that I spoke at. And she said, "We would love to give you $1,000 towards your kids that you adopted for Christmas." I said, "Okay." And I said, "Well," I said, "I'm in the middle of this grant. I can come Saturday." So the plan was for me and Michelle Moon to drive, leave at like 3 in the morning Saturday, go have lunch, get a picture, come back. Michelle Moon got sick. She could not go. And I finished the grant, everything I had to have on Thursday. And then I heard a voice in my head that said, "Just go today. Go do it today." So after work, I left. I went to Tennessee. I spent the night at a hotel. Next day, got up, went, did my thing at TBN Studios in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And then I actually got to go to the Huckabee taping that night. And then I drove home. The next day, I see on Facebook, 13 tornadoes hit Hendersonville, Clarksville, Springfield. And guess what studio got hit? The TBN studio. I would have been there had I not listened to that voice in my head. This is God talking to me. And now that I know that's what it is, I know to listen. I know to listen. For many years, I always heard that and I thought I was just crazy, but which I kind of am still, but you can't go through what I went through and not be a little cuckoo. But now that I know what the voice is, I know how to pay attention, and I know how to, I know he's going to have my back, and I know we're going to get this center open next year. I'm so excited. So
Michelle,
that's
this
what.
is such an amazing story. I love hearing what has happened just since we talked to you. The last time we were talking, you were just talking about the first book and you were hoping to, that it made a difference. I mean, that was how far you were with it. And look
Yeah.
at what has happened since we talked to you last. And
Yes.
so I too practice listening. And so one of the things that I have really been again, if you're talking about listening to God's voice, is there is a program that I want to add to my academy, and it's how to tell. It's actually a course where folks can take a little test within the course, and it's how to tell whether they would do better at working for someone else or whether they would do better at being self-employed. And so basically it's, are they an entrepreneur or not? Because a lot of people that want to be an entrepreneur, really, they're not cut out for it. And a lot of folks that are stuck in a dead-end job would really be an amazing entrepreneur, and they're just afraid to make this the switch. And
Yeah.
so when you're working with these kids, do you find some kids that, like you're such a fast learner, but you didn't have a lot of those opportunities growing up, until you did age out, and then you learned about yourself that you could do anything you set your mind to do. I'm sure there's kids like that all over the country that would be amazing entrepreneurs, and they just don't have that stepping stone to get there, or the community, the group, the tribe,
The
whatever.
mentorship, yeah.
Yes, the mentorship for them to get there. And so, in the true vein of our conversation, I want to donate to your hub a full year scholarship for the academy for any folks that are interested in any of the programs. We do it all online on a Zoom call, and I would give that for free times two once a year
Oh,
to your
amazing.
program,
Thank
because
you.
there are kids there that would love to do some of the things that I'm doing, some of the things that Sandy is doing, and they just don't know how to start. And
Right.
so this would be with, your team working on the ground there with the kids. You would know which kids that it would really help launch them, give them that confidence that is just that close for them.
Yes.
And they just
Yes.
need a group that where they can say, wow, I can do this thing.
Yeah. I've already got a kid in mind. So she keeps starting these businesses and they're failing, and then she starts another one, and then she starts another, and then she starts, and she wants to be an entrepreneur, and she's a hard worker. It's just, I don't think she knows how, and she's not found her niche, her purpose yet. That's
Well,
wonderful. That is just
our
wonderful.
membership fee comes out to about $300 a year, so we would be donating $600 the
That is wonderful,
two
Kathy. Thank you so
scholarships. Yeah,
much.
so I can't wait to be a part. I think it's huge. It's so needed, and I appreciate you and your heart and your service. And again, everything that you've been through, you've turned it around to make it something positive. And
Yeah.
that's the biggest mentorship that these kids need, is to see that that can happen, that
Yes.
positive
Yes.
come out of it. We're working with the boy right now. He's chosen to throw bricks through our windows at our property down on the Ohio River, down in Middleport, which is again a very depressed area. The grandmother is trying to raise him, and he just feels like nobody sees him, he
Yeah.
wants to be seen so badly. So we're working, trying to figure out a way to make a difference in his life. And so I get where you're coming from. I get why it's so important.
That's
Yes, I love
awful.
it. I love
I
it.
love to hear that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
Sandy.
you, I'm a blubbering mess now.
Sandy, any comments or thoughts? This,
Man,
I
I'm
know
your
this is
comp.
quite a conversation, I know.
Really, I usually come with a bunch of them. Just amazing. It's to me, because I run a writer's workshop, because I taught high school English for ages. To me, the power of writing, you just don't know who's going to pick up on that and be taken away by it. So amazing, because in the end, yes, you worked with other folks, sure, but you put your life there in a book. And look how many people have you were talking to them without knowing it. That's just, to me, the words, one word, word by word, it got out there. Ah, that's just amazing. Amazing.
I have to share this last story now that you said you're an English teacher. So my AP Lit teacher, I loved school.
Wow,
I was
AP.
really good at school, and he would make us write. He would write a question at the beginning of the week, and we had to write a paper by Friday and turn it in. And
Oh.
sometimes, and there was never a right or wrong answer.
Sure.
Sometimes, like whatever author we were reading and that time, try to incorporate something from the book, Nietzsche one week, Shakespeare
Wow.
another week, you know. So sometimes I would have stories, personal stories I could put in these papers. So he asked me after class one day and he said, "Are these your stories?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "Michelle, you have to write a book." I said, "Mr. Sewer, I'm only 17 years old. I have a whole bunch of life left to live." He said, "Promise me you will write a book one day." And I
Wow.
said, "I will." I just found him last month and
Yay.
had lunch with him and gave him the books. And he was a mess too. He was like, "I can't believe I made that kind of impact on your life."
Oh, thank
I
you for
said, "I
sharing the book.
always remembered what you said to me."
Wow. Wow.
So
And
that's
you know what? And right there is the moral of the story. Most of these kids just need somebody to believe in them.
yes, and to
They
say
just
that.
need somebody to believe in them. Yep. And believe
Exactly.
me, I over the years, thousands of students came across my classroom and I read thousands of stories and essays and all that. But it is only a unique few that I could see, like, wow, man, there's a writer. So by all means, take that. What he said to you, he knew. He knew. And I'm glad you eventually that I'm glad you followed up on it. Really, really am. And yes,
Yeah.
I have a couple spots for a scholarship for a student at the Writer's Workshop. If you can recognize that in if you see somebody in the age group that you're working with who would benefit and be able to handle a week in Yellow Springs, something like that, let me know. But
Okay.
wow, bravo, bravo, bravo,
Yes.
Michelle, you've done
Thank
well.
you. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Michelle, this has been a wonderful conversation. Please let
Oh.
our listeners know how that they can get in touch with you if they want to participate in what you're doing, or how at least they can get copies of your books. How can they connect?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. The books, Dumpster Doll series, the early years and adolescence. Can you see them? Am I getting them?
Yep.
They're on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, Hobo, Walmart.com, many libraries, every bookstore in the Smoky Mountains, a couple here in Columbus. One is the Book Loft, and the other one is Gramercy Books. Is there a Gramercy? Okay. See, they're available in hardback, paperback, ebook, audiobook. What else on the book?
Well,
If you go to a library, they're in Ingram's database.
okay.
So if you go to a library and the library doesn't have it, the library can order it.
Okay.
Fosterhub.com. So my website for the book is dumpsterdollseries.com or michellemaysauthor.com.
Okay.
My website for the foundation is fosterhub.com.
Very
And
good.
if you want to connect with me, just go to the contact tab and fill out the information that goes directly to my inbox.
Okay. In the description of this particular call, I will also include those links. So anyone that
You.
clicks through on our podcast, they will see those links there as well. And also, Michelle, I'm going to do one more thing for you. Sandy and I do this for everyone. And I believe you may already be there, but
I'm going to make sure that you are in our speakers cabinet. So if anybody is looking for speakers and they click through on our speakers cabinet, yeah, they will see you there. And I'll update that to bring it current with what you're doing. And I'll have your links there as well. And then thank I'm also going to send you the link to this recording, and you can use it however you wish. If it helps to put it on a website or any of your materials, marketing materials, you're welcome to use it in full or in part, however you wish. Whatever,
I appreciate that.
Whatever helps you. I am a firm believer that the rising tide raises all the ships.
Oh, I love that saying. That's beautiful. Oh,
so we want to do our part to help you do what it is that you do best. So thank you so much for being with us tonight. I really appreciate you.
Thank you both, ladies. You're wonderful. Thank you so much. Sure. I'll see you soon. In January.
Yes. And so for those that are listening, January 15 at 12 noon, don't forget to go to kathybenner.com, scroll down to the calendar, and register to get the new link.